So we've been talking through the month of December about opening the gifts that God gives us early. And we've all been very, very good, or at least I think most of us have been very, very good. We waited to open up the presents that our friends and our family members got for us. We had our big day. You know, Christmas Eve was Thursday, and then, of course, Friday morning. We finally got to open all of those presents, and that was fun. I got a pair of Star Wars socks from my brother and sister-in-law, and so I wore shorts on Christmas Day to show off my new socks. It drove my mother crazy because one side was C-3PO and the other side was R2-D2. It was a matched set, but they don't look just like each other. How cool was that? And so, you know, it was fun to open up all of those presents, and we had lots of other fun presents too, as I'm sure you did. But we've been talking about in the month of December opening the presents that God gives us early. Let's not wait until the new year to talk about the things that God has given to us. And so 4 weeks ago now, we talked about the fact that God gave us the gift of this planet, and it was a gift that has been given to every person who has ever lived ever. And we see God's love and concern for us when we take a look at his creation, and we talked about how not only did he give us the planet, but there's all these systems that make this planet run, that make this planet home, that make this planet awesome, that we do nothing to maintain. None of us worried about the oxygen level this morning. None of us worried about the fish in the sea this morning. None of us worried about the insects or the bugs that are living in the ground this morning. We don't do anything to maintain those systems. These are all systems that God has given us, as well as the whole planet, to show that he is and that he cares and that he loves us and he meets all of our needs, and it's an overwhelming gift. We talked about how the whole planet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator while it is traveling 67,000 miles an hour in a big circle around the sun. And if we were to try to design just one system that could survive those kinds of forces, we could put all of our best efforts and all of our best brains together, and it would probably just fall apart. And yet every system we know, it feels like we're standing still. Feels like we're standing still. 1,000 miles an hour spinning on the Earth, on the Earth's belly button, 67,000 miles an hour through space. It's crazy. So we talked about how God gave us the gift of creation. Second week, we talked about how God gave us the gift of his son, how he gave us the gift of salvation, who meets our spiritual need. And the gift of creation was a lot like the gift of Jesus in that it was for everybody. Anybody who wants to be saved, anybody who wants to experience the power of forgiveness can do so by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. It's for everybody who ever lived, ever, anybody, all the time. And then last week, we talked about, for those of us who have made decisions of faith, God sends the gift of his presence. We talked about how God the Father is kind of like the sun, the physical sun, the burning ball of gas that's, you know, 8 light years away or 8 minutes by light speed away, whatever it is. And then Jesus Christ is kind of like the sunbeam that traverses through the darkness of sin, the darkness and the void of outer space. And the presence of the Holy Spirit is kind of like the warmth of the sun on our skin. And how that was a promise from Jesus that was available to New Testament believers. And so the gift of the presence of God's Holy Spirit in the life of someone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ by faith. This is the concluding week of our little sermon series about understand these things now. Think about these things now. Pray about these things now. Don't start making new goals for the new year until you've really kind of internalized these presents that God has given us. So we opened those gifts early, and the final gift that we're going to talk about this morning, and there's a lot more, I've just chosen these four, is again has to do with the Holy Spirit, and it has to do with the fact that not only do we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life as believers, but Jesus also promised, and Paul talks about quite a bit, that there are actual gifts of the Holy Spirit that New Testament believers receive. And so we're going to talk about how God's presence is visible to us by his planet, by the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life that seals our salvation, God's presence in our life, and fourth and finally this morning, through actual spiritual gifts, aptitudes and abilities that God has given to each one of us individually. This present that we're going to talk about this morning, it's for you and you alone. There has never been another person ever who has your particular spiritual gifts, and there never will be another person that has your particular blend of spiritual gifts. Creation is for everybody. The gift of salvation is for everybody. The presence of the Holy Spirit is for all who believe. But your spiritual gifts, they're for you. They're for you. They're not for anybody else. And they're from God, and it's a gift that he has given you. And we're going to talk about it this morning. So one of my favorite parts about Christmas are the stockings. Does everybody do stockings? Are stockings still a thing? Do we do stockings? Now, some of you are pagans, and you open your stockings first. I'm just telling you, that's wrong. It's not right. It invalidates everything that is right about the Christmas spirit. It's just evil, and it's something that you should repent from. Because everybody knows that stockings are kind of like the dessert after the main course. So you open your big presents from Santa Claus first, and then all your aunties and your uncles and all that stuff. And then once the glut of paper has been by the trash elf, do you guys have a trash elf on Christmas morning that has the garbage bag that goes around? You don't have trash elves? How do you clean up the paper? You guys kind of need to come up to speed with the right way to do Christmas. That's apparent. I'm here to help. So after the trash elf has cleaned off the initial wrapping paper, then come out the stockings. And the fun thing about the stockings, at least how we do them in our family, is if someone needs a very personal gift, like, let's say, deodorant, it's not really something you're going to wrap and put under the tree and expect them to be like, yes, now I can smell like a man, you know, and or like a new razor, you know. It's not really something you're going to wrap and put under the tree and expect your child to be like, Christmas is the best. But that kind of present you can put in a stocking. And it's and yes, it's totally fine to wrap up deodorant or socks or a new toothbrush or those kinds of things or actual real fun little toys. And it's just fun opening these very, very personal presents. Don't share the deodorant that you got in your stocking. That's for you. Keep it someplace for you. The new foofy that you got in the shower, the new loofah, that's for you. Maybe it was wrapped in your stocking. Don't share that with anybody. That personal stocking gift, it's yours. It's for you, and don't share that gift. And that's what we're talking about this morning. And at least the way we do stockings, that's you're not going to find the big, at least in our household, you're not going to find your big present in your stocking. But you can find some fun gifts, some very, very personal gifts in your stocking. And it's fun to open that stocking after all the main presents have been opened. So we've opened up all the main presents. Today we're talking about the highly personal ones, the one that's just for you. And there's going to be some questions that you might have this morning that I'm not going to be able to answer. They're questions that you have to answer because it's God's gift to you. But we're going to set some general guidelines this morning about when we talk about spiritual gifts, the actual gifts, aptitudes, and abilities that God supernaturally imparts to everyone who is a Christian. We're going to set out some guidelines this morning for you. I don't know of any other faith system that has anything like this. It's entirely unique to Christianity, to the best of my knowledge, where we have, not only do we have personal salvation, but we have a Savior that actually gives us personal gifts that are just for us. So what do I need to know about spiritual gifts? Let's start here. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes to the Ephesians, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. When at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, something was now possible on the planet, which was never possible until he atoned for sin, which was sin was now atoned for perfectly. So therefore, God could be perfectly present with an imperfect people because a perfect sacrifice was made. And so when he rose up to heaven, when God raised him from the dead, it proved to everybody on the planet and all the entities in heaven that God could now be present in a new way with New Testament believers. And so this verse says, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And so, of course, one idea of the measure of Christ's gift is that he provides salvation for everybody. But the other thought is, as he is the head of the church, he's the boss, he's in charge of the church, which is a collection of people who have placed their faith in him. He's in charge of giving out actual spiritual gifts as he sees fit. They're unique, they're individualized. And why does he give these gifts? Paul goes on to continue in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. When you take a look at the prevailing, the big passages in the New Testament that talk about spiritual gifts, specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the metaphor that's used is of a body. And of course, everyone is a member of the body and has different roles in that body. And that's why Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 4 that the gifts are for the building up of the body of Christ. It's a metaphor for the church. And so Paul says to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. So I want to tell you something that you may not know about the New Testament word saints. Because we hear that word saints and we all kind of feel like, whew, pressure's off. Obviously, that has nothing to do with me because I would never call myself a saint. The New Testament calls people who place their faith in Jesus Christ saints. It's not a term referring to Mother Teresa alone. It's a term that's referring to everyone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So if you just took off that backpack of responsibility saying, yay, there's nothing saintly about me, I would never say that I'm a saint, in the eyes of the New Testament, put that backpack on. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are known as a saint. Why? Because you will be. Because the New Testament is a very hopeful book, and it knows that your end destination for people of faith is to be perfect, to actually be a saint. And so the New Testament refers to Christians as saints. And so this verse is talking to us, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up of the body of Christ. The bottom line is, you have a job in the church that only you can do. And it's Jesus Christ's job to equip you for that job. And he works through the leadership of the church, specifically through me as the pastor, but other leaders as well, to help you figure out what the needs of the church are and how God might be meeting that need in your meeting that need in the church through you. When there is a need in the local church, it is always met according to God's plan by the people who go to that church. The saints are equipped, they're trained, they're ready to serve the body, to serve the church. So what are some of these gifts? I don't have these passages on the screen, and I'm just going to give you sort of a generalized list. There is no definitive list in the New Testament of exactly what every single spiritual gift is, but there are three different places where a number of different gifts are listed, and so we have a very good idea of when Jesus Christ decides to move through a believer with spiritual gifts to serve that local church, what these gifts generally look like. So for example, in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, some are gifted with preaching, some are gifted with serving, some are gifted with teaching, some with encouraging, some with giving, some with leadership, some with mercy. And when I say gifted, it's not that the only ones in the church who can preach or serve, or teach, or encourage, or give, or lead, or show mercy are the ones that are gifted with it. It's just that when they act, when they do these things, it's really effective, supernaturally effective. Like, it brings joy to them and others, kind of effective. So it's not that the only people that are supposed to preach are the ones who have the gift of preaching, for example. It's not that the only people who are supposed to give are the people who have the gift of preaching, or teaching, or administrating, or whatever. It's just that when these people do it, lives are changed. Like, people draw closer to Jesus as the people of the church practice these spiritual gifts. Another list can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, preaching, discernment, languages, and interpretation of languages. Another list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 later on. Some are gifted with apostles, prophets, teachers. These are positions in the first century church. Miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of languages and tongues. And so there's a lot that could be said about the actual specific gifts of the Holy Spirit. And maybe you've had some experience with this before. Or maybe you've seen someone that has had one or a couple of these gifts before. All I can tell you from my personal experience is that there have been times when I have prayed for a certain gift. For instance, I've prayed for the gift of healing. I've prayed that that God would give me the spiritual gift of healing so that when I prayed for people to be healed, that they would be healed more often than not, and that their lives would be changed and that their sins would be forgiven, just in accordance to what James chapter 5 says about when someone is sick, you should come before the leadership of the church and they will pray for you and anoint you with oil and the sick will be healed and those who have sinned will have their sins forgiven. I thought, Lord, I would love the spiritual gift of healing, because as a pastor, I'm confronted so often with, you know, family members that are ill or children that are sick or people that are going through a rough time. Wouldn't it be an awesome gift, Father, if you would bless me with this gift where when I prayed for people and placed my hands on them, that they would be healed. To the best of my knowledge, I have not received that gift. That being said, I've prayed for people and they've been healed because God heals people. But I don't feel that he does that through me in a supernatural way where it's more effective than the average person. Because as believers, we have the privilege to pray for each other. And so I've seen people be healed. But I do not feel, for instance, that I have that particular spiritual gift. I'm very, very certain that I have, it's not in the New Testament, I have some kind of gift dealing with double stuffed Oreos. There's something very, very magical that happens with me and double stuffed Oreos. I'm not really sure. It's not in the New Testament. I'm kind of hoping that someday that I can increase in wisdom and understand how my gift and affinity for double stuffed Oreos can be used by his church, but I haven't figured that one out yet. So that's kind of just a rough introduction to spiritual gifts. I want to move very quickly through this. And again, it's not my goal to give you complete assurance about what your spiritual gifts are. I just want to let you know that it's a gift that God gives and have a little bit of greater insight and wisdom into what the New Testament says. So what is our response to this concept that God has aptitudes and abilities for everyone who is in his church? What are we supposed to do with this knowledge that there are personal spiritual gifts for those who believe in Jesus Christ? I'd like to share two big ideas and then move on. So in response to this big question, what do I need to do about this knowledge that there is a present under the tree and it's very, very personal? It's just for me. What do I need to do about this? The first thing is, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, we need to understand two things. It's not our job as individuals to do anything other than serve. It's not our job as individuals to feel like we're supposed to go off and change the world. And let me illustrate this by what we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, where Paul is in the context of the armor of God. And that's a whole nother sermon about the armor of God. But the bottom line is, as individuals, we are to put on the armor that God has provided us, spiritual armor, salvation and sharing the gospel and righteousness and the belt of truth and others. But here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, regarding individuals. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. At the end of the day, when we just think about ourselves, our responsibility is to stand and to stand firm. And that happens when we put on the armor of God. It's not our job, it's not our responsibility to go on and take on big spiritual projects, if you will, by ourselves. It'd be like if your thumb decides to go do something by itself. That's just weird. And you know that when the thumb launches off on its own, it's going to find out that it's part of a team. And by itself, maybe it can hitch a ride somewhere, maybe, if someone wants to pick up a thumb. But there's it can't do anything without its friends. And it's attached to an arm, and it's attached to heart and lungs and a brain. And so the thumb's not really, what's the thumb supposed to do? Its job. The thumb is supposed to do its job. And the thumb can be sore every once in a while. That's fine. And you know, that's great, and sometimes you have to give special attention to your thumb because you hit it with a hammer or you slammed it in the door or you did something silly like that, and that's fine, but the bottom line is the thumb has a responsibility to the rest of the body. What you need the thumb to do is be a thumb, and I guess what Paul is saying is that what Christians need to do is be a Christian. We need to take care of our own needs. We need to be available to serve the rest of the body, which means we put on the armor of God. Our responsibility is to stand and to be available. Well, what about moving forward as a church and ministry objectives? Well, Paul addresses that too. So our first responsibility as Christians is to armor up. If you're not solid in your faith, if you don't have confidence in your salvation, if you don't understand what it means to be a Christian, and you're not feeding yourself regularly throughout the week by taking in God's word and praying back to him and wrestling through things in prayer, you haven't put the armor on. You're kind of like a thumb that's just kind of not really doing its job. And so the first thing to do when we think about spiritual gifts is to armor up. Be strong. Feed yourself. Take care of your own needs as a Christian. Not that we're always going to be perfectly happy with God, but we have a certain confidence that we can approach him and wrestle through the challenges of our life so that we're ready. Our job is to stand. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The second thing, so armor up, the second thing is we advance as a church. We advance as a body with Jesus Christ at the head. He is our leader. And so when it comes to taking on ministerial objectives and sharing the gospel effectively in a region and starting new churches and starting new ministries, this is something that we do as a church. Matthew 16, 18, this is Jesus talking, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the church moves forward, it does not move backward. Inexorable. Isn't that a great word? When the church moves, it's inexorable. Why? Because Jesus is the captain, and he defeated hell and death. He won. He did. So when he says move, when he says march, when he says those gates will not stand against us, when he says that we are going to do something new, he wins. And it's our responsibility, since we're armored, now we're ready to advance. We would never go into battle without the armor. That's just silly. Christians who try to obtain, who try to be a part of Christian ministry, who are not able to meet their own needs as a Christian are liabilities. Just like a soldier who goes into battle with no weapons or no armor, he's a liability. It's going to take two or three or four guys to carry him out once he gets hurt. He's not doing anything except taking away from the advance. And so Christians are armored, we're self-feeding, we're taking care of our own spiritual needs, and when the commanding officer says to advance, we say yes, in full anticipation that while we may be wounded in ministry, we may have difficult times in ministry, we're not going in unprepared for the challenges that lie ahead of us. So as a church, we move forward and we accomplish spiritual objectives, effective evangelism, for instance, and being God's presence in a community. Loving God and loving people happens as a church. It happens as individuals, but it moves forward in a regional sense as a church. So what do we need to do when we talk about our individual spiritual gifts? Well, first of all, we need to be taking care of our own spiritual needs by armoring up, according to Ephesians chapter 6. And then when we do advance, it's with the church. No lone rangers. They make easy targets. So let's get down to the nitty and the gritty. And this is the part of the sermon where I just kind of share some things with you from my own personal experience. When it comes to the question, well, then how do I know what my spiritual gifts are? I get it that God gave us creation, God gave us Jesus Christ and salvation. He gave us the presence of his Spirit as assurance of our salvation, but he also gave me a personal spiritual gift that's only mine. How do I discover what that aptitude, what that ability, what that gift is? And this is where I'm just going to kind of talk just from what I know, as in my experience of helping people wrestle with this and kind of going through this process myself. The first thing is it can change. It's not always going to be the same. And the reason for that is the spiritual gift that God gives to you is always to serve the church that you're attending. The gift is it's to you and it's for you, but it's not yours. It's yours to share. So spiritual gifts are always given in response to a need. And I find this so fascinating because the folks that come to church on a Sunday morning that say, oh man, I was just really enjoying the worship service that morning, and then something happened. There weren't enough donuts. The sound was terrible. It was too hot. It was too cold. Something wasn't clean. The use of scripture or the children's programming wasn't executed with excellence. It's almost always an indicator that God has a way. You have perceived a need, and it could be a valid need. And the answer almost always is God doing something through you to meet that need. That might scare some of you because you're thinking, oh my goodness. You know, I did notice something this morning. You know, it was hard to find this place. The signage wasn't just as good as it could have been or whatever. The reason that our spiritual gifts change from time to time is because the needs of the church change. It's a fluid organization. It's a living body. And if you see something that strikes you as a little off or a little wrong, it's almost always an indication that God is going to do something through you to meet that need. And that's a very exciting thing, and it's an amazing way to take a look at how a church is supposed to work. If you woke up this morning, and let's say that you like to run or you like to jog, you would be very concerned if you woke up with sore feet. Now, if you woke up with sore elbows, you wouldn't really care. But if you woke up with sore feet or a sore knee, you would be very sensitive to that. Why? You're a runner. The rest of the body may not care that you didn't go for a run that day, but you cared. And so you're a sensitive to something that is very, very important to you. And it's very, very common that for people will come to church and there's an area or two where they really see a need. They see something that could be improved. It's a great indication that God might be getting to ready to move through your life in a way to be a blessing to your local church. So spiritual gifts very commonly come through your perception of a need. Another thing to consider is that sometimes spiritual gifts come because someone put a call on your life. This has happened to me, where a pastor or a leader in the church said, Josh, I need you to serve in this capacity. And I say, well, I've never done that before. And they simply say, well, I'm asking you to. I'm calling you to. Would you think about it? Would you pray about it? Would you try? And even though it's in an area that I don't feel comfortable or trained or equipped for, there have been times where in obedience, I just started trying to serve in that way where I was asked to serve, and then God kind of did something crazy cool. Like I found I could do it, and it wouldn't be something that I would have made up for myself. So you want a goofy example of this? Because we've been wrestling with this just a little bit here as a church. Not that this is exactly a spiritual gift, but it's definitely an aptitude to be able to communicate well. It kind of falls under the gift of preaching. Announcements. Do you know how hard it is to do the announcements? The announcements are like wicked hard because you're trying to get people's attention. You're trying to give them information. You're trying to give them what they need. You're trying to be a little bit friendly. You're trying to be a little bit funny. Announcements are wicked, wicked hard. And if you don't think they're hard, try it. I would love to have you come up and try and do the announcements. They're really, really hard. I have an aptitude for them. I have a knack for them. I have a way of making people feel comfortable and friendly and getting the information out in a way that doesn't hurt too bad. I was asked to do that. I didn't feel that way the first time. Far from it. In fact, I didn't want to do it at all. And then I found that God just kind of moved through that because it was a need. And so that's a silly example. That's a goofy example, but an example nonetheless. And then the final thought, the final consideration about how do I know what my spiritual gift is. Number one, it's almost always in response to a need that's being experienced by the local church. Number two, sometimes it's because someone has asked you to do something and it may feel uncomfortable, but it is a valid need and God is about to do something through you that you never anticipated him doing through you. And finally, and most importantly, it's activated by faith. It's activated by faith. It could be in an area where you feel confident and competent. You know, maybe you have some leadership training, or maybe you have some administrative training, or maybe serving others or helping others and acts of mercy come very easy to you. It's possible that it could come through natural affinities and abilities, but it's always activated by faith. It's always going to stretch you in a way that makes you very uncomfortable. And it's always oriented towards the needs of somebody else. It's never scratching your own back. That's why a lot of times when people begin to serve the church, it's difficult because it is rewarding and it is satisfying, but you're always meeting somebody else's need. It's an ability that God gives for you to meet somebody else's need. And you might be saying, okay, I understand that. That's all helpful, but I really have no idea what my spiritual gifts are, and I understand that information, but you know, what do I actually do to kind of begin educating myself about how God might use me for service in the local church? In your car right now, there is a power steering system, and it works really, really well. If you're old and you've ever driven an older tractor or an older car that just had rack and pinion steering or non-power steering vehicle, you remember how hard it was to drive a vehicle without power steering. But the crazy thing about power steering, the only way to get power steering to work for you is if you're actually driving the car. We can talk about power steering all day long. We can check the fluid in the power steering transmission pump motor section. We can make sure that all the nuts and the bolts and the rods and the linkages are connected. We can make sure that the tires are inflated and that the car will actually turn on. But power steering only comes alive when you're driving the thing. And so the best way to discover what your spiritual gifts are to serve. Find a way to serve. And it might be terrible. It might be awful. It may not work at all. Or you will begin to experience God moving powerfully through your life in a way as you continue to humbly pray and say, Heavenly Father, I want to be, there's a gift that you have given me and I'm supposed to unwrap it, but it's for my local church. Would you help me discover what that gift is? And there's only one way to find out, and that's by just start serving. Because the bottom line is power steering doesn't work unless the car is rolling down the road, just like spiritual gifts don't work unless you're actually engaged in the work of the ministry somehow. God changing my life in a way that others' lives are beginning to be changed. A spiritual gift is something that God has done in my life. He's changed me somehow. And as I serve, others' lives are being changed. That's a spiritual gift. That's a spiritual gift. It comes in response to a need. And sometimes it's a call. It's always faith activated and others oriented. And so, kind of by way of conclusion, what does a church look like where there's active ministry, where people are using their spiritual gifts? You know what it looks like? It looks like River Kids. It looks like River Kids, where good-hearted people have volunteered their time, and they've familiarized themselves with the curriculum, and they've gotten the little craft prepared, and they got here a little early, and they take other people's little reprobates, and they herd them into a small little room and try and impart a spiritual lesson to them. It's almost impossible, and it happens every week. That's what it looks like. You know what else it looks like? Baptisms. That's what the local church looks like. People making professions of faith, they've heard the gospel message and they responded to it. It looks like communion. Next week, first Sunday of the month, when we take communion together, it looks, when a church is using their spiritual gifts, it looks like communion. You know what else it looks like? It looks like setting up the instruments and playing. It looks like setting up the hospitality area and making it look like a place that when you walk into the school for the first time, like, oh, isn't that nice? And people feel like they're welcomed here. It looks like setting up the pipe and drape system and the artwork and all of the work that goes into making this place look and feel more like a place where you'd want to be on a Sunday morning. It looks like the stuff that we do in the community. It looks like Spooktopia. It looks like the princess party. It looks like our Christmas Eve service. It looks like carols in the park. It looks like all of that stuff. That's what the church looks like when it is using their spiritual gifts. Why? Because all of that stuff is done. River Kids, hospitality, the worship team, the systems that are set up, the community outreaches, the baptisms and the communion. While we derive spiritual benefit from all that stuff, you know why we do all that stuff? For somebody else. That's what it looks like when the church is at war. That's what it looks like when the church is armored up and advancing. All of those things is what it looks like when our spiritual gifts start to come alive. And so now I'm really concluding, Janos. Thank you. I love these guys. Thank you very much for leading worship today. These guys, you're not as good as these guys, bottom line. God would have to move in your life in a very, very unique and special way. Mitch, you might be as good as these guys on a good day. Have you met these guys? You should meet these guys. They're amazing. You have a lot to talk about. They're wonderful people. These guys have a gift, and it has nothing to do with the music. It has everything to do with the heart to serve, and the music helps. So what is our responsibility as a church? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So the way that we grow in our spiritual gifts, according to this passage, is that we speak to each other truthfully. Number one, we speak to each other truthfully about needs that we might be experiencing as a church. Churches have all kinds of needs. It can be facility-driven. It can be program-driven. It can be cookies, not enough cookies. There's all kinds of needs. And so in the context of a church, it's supposed to be a safe place where we can honestly say we have a need. Speaking the truth in love. And the other aspect of speaking the truth in love is then lovingly trying to meet those needs. And speaking the truth in love is an amazing, powerful way that Jesus begins to move through his church. And so moving forward, if maybe you're leading a team right now, maybe you're one of those people that I've approached and I've talked to and I've said, you know, I could really use your help in this area. Would you consider for a period of time kind of taking oversight of this or starting something new? And I'm just truthfully, lovingly expressing a need that the church has. And then we have a conversation together and we talk about whether or not God has moved in you and given you the gifts and the talents and the aptitudes to meet that need. That might be you this morning. Or it might be, you know, you've been coming to River Church for a while and you don't feel connected. You don't feel like you're getting to make new acquaintances in the church. And you haven't really found your place yet in the church. I would humbly encourage you, truthfully speak to you with love. Find a place to serve. Find a place to give. Find a place where God can move through you powerfully, because there's a need that is not being met right now because you haven't engaged. And so that's part of the conversation as well. Churches are places where we're able to speak the truth to each other in a loving way. It means that we can have a continuing conversation about real things, and sometimes they can be difficult things to hear. Sometimes they can be challenging things to hear. So I'm going to end our message right there this morning. I probably have left many, many questions. Maybe you have more questions at the end of this message than you did at the beginning when it comes to what are your actual spiritual gifts. But the big thing I want you to take away this morning is that, number one, you have them. God has a plan for you to serve His church in a powerful spiritual way that's going to change somebody else's life. Yeah, I promise it. It's in His Word. And number two, the best way I know to find it is to get involved and find out and to start serving. And then have these ongoing conversations where a ministry leader can say to you, you know what, this really isn't working out. You know, it was great that you stepped up and you tried to meet this need in the church, but it's not working out. And would you consider serving in a different way? Or it is working out. Would you consider stepping up into leadership, speaking the truth in love, having these ongoing conversations? It's what we need to do as we move forward, as we humble ourselves to what the Scripture says about spiritual gifts. I hope this series has been an encouragement to you. Next week, our message is going to be a little short devotion, and then we move into a time of communion, and we'll jump back into the book of Acts beginning the second week in January. So let me pray with you guys this morning, and then we'll conclude our time together with a word of worship as we sing together. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, this is a group of people who are perfectly willing to be used by you. We understand that you have given so many gifts, that you have presence, that you have presented to the planet. And this morning we had the privilege of talking about the most personal one of all. So Father, I pray that you would give us the wisdom and the courage to take steps moving forward, to find our place in your local church where you can honor and glorify yourself through our lives. Because we know, Father, that for every person that is sitting here, you have a plan for them. You have a spiritual gift, a spiritual aptitude for them that is going to be a tremendous life-changing blessing for someone else, either in our church or in our community. And so, Father, we're ready. We're willing. We're saying, yes, please. And so, Father, would you give us greater wisdom as we take steps of faith? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.